Well, good morning, Grace people. So good to be with you. Good morning to those of you who are watching online or those of you who are watching over in the fellowship hall this morning. I'd like to conduct a little survey, and you are invited to participate here in the room and in the fellowship hall and at home. I would invite you to be a part of this little survey. Here is what this survey is about. On a scale from 1 to 5, how rested do you feel today? 5 would be well rested. 4 would be rested. 3 would be a little tired. 4 would be tired. And 5 would be totally exhausted. So, I'm going to invite hands to be raised. Let's start with those who would categorize themselves as well rested. Number 1. Good, a few hands there. All right, how about number 2? You feel rested? Not good, not too bad. How about 3? You feel a little tired. Yeah, okay. How about 4, where you definitely feel tired? Yeah, yeah. How about those number 5s who are completely exhausted? Raise your hand. Come on, be bold. Hey, that's all right. That's all right. You know, I think that a lot of people could find themselves in any one of those categories today. And there are many things that can bring us to those places of tiredness or restlessness. I think some of the examples would be our jobs, the work that we do with our families, our health, and the things that we worry about, which could also be our jobs, our families, our health, and anything else that's going on in the world that drains us and makes us feel restless. So how do we normally try to deal with things like this? How do we deal with our tiredness and our restlessness? Well, some of us will try to get just a couple of days off from work. Others may plan vacations. Or some might just distract themselves temporarily. But then the problem is the next day comes. And with it, often those same things that wore you out or brought weariness into your life are right back in front of you again. And it seems like we never can get ahead on our rest. So the cycle continues. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, what if I told you that you were not created to work yourself to death? You were not created to live in weariness and exhaustion. That is not God's design and desire for your life. And this truth is the focus of the gospel message today that we heard from Luke chapter 6. We just heard the whole passage read aloud, but I want to hone in today on just one verse of this passage that is so central to the message, and it's this. In verse 5, then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. What does it mean when Jesus says the Son of Man? Well, he's referring to himself. Language that comes from the Old Testament, language of expectation that the Son of Man would come and be the Messiah, the long-expected Messiah, to bring all things into right order in God's kingdom for his sake. What about the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is a day set aside to rest from work and honor God together with his people. Now, the root of that word, Sabbath, really means rest or to cease. And logically, that means to cease from working. But it's to stop what you're doing, and to enter into rest. And in the time of Jesus' ministry, not only was the Sabbath something that was expected to be observed, it was the law. It was the law, and it was a severe punishment for those who failed to properly observe the Sabbath. Now, the fourth commandment, which we heard a portion of today if we're here in the traditional service, but I'll read it to you again from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10, speaks to this Sabbath. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like a pretty good command to take a break, to rest, to cease from your work. A mandatory day off. But here's the thing. Just like every law that is put into the hands of sinful people like you and me, this good law became a religious burden. What do I mean by that? Well, by focusing on the work and forgetting about rest. Focusing on the work and missing the rest. See, the religious leaders in the time of Jesus' ministry had created a laundry list of all the ways you could violate the Sabbath. Let me give you some examples of what it meant and ways in which you could violate the Sabbath. No one could carry a load heavier than a dried fig. No one could throw an object in the air and catch it with the other hand. That was work. No one could bathe because they might spill water on the floor, which would lead to cleaning the floor, which was also prohibited. And my personal favorite, women could not look in a mirror because they might be tempted to pluck a gray hair. Layer upon layer added to this good command of God, meant for our good, but instead a focus that became on what not to do. A focus in on all the things that you could do wrong related to the Sabbath. Very little mention of rest. Now, certainly there were those observant Israelites who understood that this intent was for good and that there were portions of the Sabbath that certainly were enjoyable. But with this hanging over their head, with a constant sense of, what if I get it wrong? What if I mess this up? They entirely missed the point of Sabbath and the rest that God intended. And you see, that rest that God intended is rooted in the very story of creation. You go all the way back to the first book, to the first chapter of Genesis. God creates everything around us in the first 5 days of creation. And then on the sixth day, he created human beings. And on the seventh day, God took joy in all that he had made and rested from his work of creation. So we honor that seventh day. But I think we sometimes miss something about the order that happens. See, we often think of it as, well, good, we should work for 6 days and then take a day off. But what we miss is the fact that you and I, in God's creation, were created on the sixth day, which means the first full day that we have is a day of rest. Creation for us begins in rest. As a matter of fact, in the gospel story, or excuse me, in the Old Testament story, each of the days is marked by these words, and there was evening and there was morning, the first day, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. Now, that order may sound a little bit confusing, too. I mean, why would we start with evening and then go to morning? I mean, don't we typically think about you have morning and then you have evening? Not in the time of creation, or really for a lot of human history. Why? Because nobody had watches. Nobody had a watch to keep track of the time. So one day ended when the sun went down, and that started the next day. See, we think of the day starting at midnight, but how would you know when midnight is? I mean, there's no particular way to know when you're halfway through the night. Plus, it changes depending on where you are throughout the year. So the day, the next day, begins at sunset and carries on all the way through until sunset the next day. That's the order in which God puts these things in place. But something interesting happens when we get to the seventh day. There's no mention of evening and morning in the seventh day. Why? Because God's rest was something that we were meant to live into. Every day. A beautiful gift to us. We were created to work from rest, not work toward rest. Why does it matter? Well, when we think of our work as a way to earn our rest, we will never have enough of either. So much of the busyness, hurry, and restlessness in American lives is the result of thinking that we are the ultimate source of our provision, and if we just work hard enough, we can earn everything we need. And if we believe that, we must work for everything we need. We will never stop working, and that doesn't work. The purpose of understanding God's rest is to understand that God is the ultimate source. We have a saying here at Community of Grace that we've referenced a number of times, which is, God is the source, we are the resource. But it all starts with God. God is the source of everything that we need. And a day of rest is a way of honoring God by saying to Him, Father, I trust that You have everything I need and more. You are my provider, and You are more than enough. So I will stop working and trust You for the rest. But it's not even just a day of rest. John Mark Comer, the author, says, Sabbath is more than just a day. It's a way of being in the world. This is what Jesus means when He says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. You see, in Jesus' arrival into the world as the Messiah, the Son of Man, He is recreating that which we lost in the fall from grace in Genesis. In the beginning, we were meant to live in this place of God's rest, trusting in Him for everything that we need, working from that place of rest, but we blew it. And as a result of blowing it, the emphasis got shifted entirely to us having to work the soil every day hard just to survive. That was part of the curse. It was never meant to be a part of the blessing. But yet so often that is the place that we find ourselves. So when Jesus says He is the Lord of the Sabbath, that means that if Jesus is your Lord, then Jesus is your rest. And you find your rest in Him. And He gives you that rest that God intended from the beginning. A place of starting in His rest. A place where we turn everything over to Him and say, Lord, I need this more than I can possibly imagine, and I trust that You have it for me. I trust that in all the places that I lack, in all the places that I am concerned, I hand them over to You and trust in Your rest that You give to me as a gift. If Jesus is your Lord, then Jesus is your rest. And it's not just physical rest, but also spiritual rest. See, there is certainly a resting in the body from the tiredness that we often feel, but there also is a spiritual rest that we are invited into. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 says this, therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest. See, it's far more than just a physical rest. There is a spiritual rest that is promised here. There is forgiveness that is offered to us. Sometimes we need a nap, right? There is a spiritual rest that is extended to us. A spiritual rest from trying to work for God's pleasure, work to get God's approval. Our physical rest begins with our spiritual rest. It is by faith in Jesus that we find rest from our feeble attempts to earn God's favor or his love. It's that love that calls out from Jesus. It called out to his disciples to follow him and glean in the fields. It called out to the man with a shriveled hand in the synagogue that he would bring him healing. It's love that called Jesus to you. And it's love that calls out from Jesus to you today. Jesus gives this invitation in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I want to read it to you from the Message translation because it just sounds a little bit different on our ears. Here it is. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. What a beautiful invitation. We began today with a question about how tired you are or how restless you are. And I asked you to raise your hands based on where that might be for you. But I want you to know that no matter where you are on that scale, there's no shame or condemnation for feeling tired or exhausted. Jesus wouldn't give the invitation if he didn't know how weary and burdened we often are. And I especially want to speak this to those of you who are young parents, because I remember it, and I see it. I see those times and those moments where you've got to carry that child out of the sanctuary. Those long nights when they're waking up in the middle of the night and you've got to pop up and sacrifice your rest to give them rest or to take care of them. It's a grind. And I don't mean in any way to say that somehow you are failing in the way that you are living your life because you're tired. Not at all. Not at all, friends. It's a season of your life. You aren't failing your kids or disappointing Jesus when you are in those places of weariness, tiredness, and restlessness. But there's an invitation that Jesus extends to you today. It's the invitation to stretch out your hand if you need Jesus to give you his rest today. We're going to take some time and pray together. And here's how I'm going to invite you to participate. As Jesus invited that man with a shriveled hand to hold out his, I'm going to invite you to hold out your hand in a way of receiving from whatever place it is that you are, whether you are feeling rested today or whether you're feeling weary today. We stretch out our hand to receive something from the Lord. And then, if you feel comfortable while you have your hand out there, and if the person next to you feels comfortable, I want you to stretch your hand and put it on their shoulder. Because friends, we don't do this alone. We don't walk this journey by ourselves. There's a reason why on that Sabbath we are called to be together with God's people so that we can be the body of Christ and encourage one another and pray for one another. So let's step into that place right now. If you'd like to just receive this from the Lord, I'm going to invite you right now to stretch out your hand with an open palm as if you're ready to receive a gift. And then, as I said, if you're comfortable, place your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you so that they can feel and know the presence of the Lord in the presence of a brother or sister in Christ. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the gift of rest that you offer to us. Lord, we know so often we try to work ourselves to death, or we try to work ourselves in some way of proving something to you or proving something to ourselves, of seeing ourselves as the provider rather than you. And Jesus, just as you taught us to pray for our daily bread, Lord, there is enough and more than enough in you to sustain us and carry us into new life with you and to carry us spiritually on into eternal life with you. So I'm going to pray some words now, and I'm going to invite you to pray these words after me. Heavenly Father, I trust that you have everything I need and more. You are my Savior. You are my healer. You are my provider. And you are more than enough. So I will stop working myself to death and trust you for the rest of my life and in my life. Amen. Amen and amen.